You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Browns fans tune into an all-new Inside the Cleveland Browns every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Sports Time Ohio with a look into the lives of the Cleveland Browns players on and off the field. That's tomorrow at 7 on Sports Time Ohio. We're going to have Dante Whitner mic'd up. I talked with Joel Bitonio about the first special teams tackle of his entire football career.
Hopefully first and last.
When he tracked down the most prolific return man in the history of the National Football League, Devin Hester, to save a touchdown for the Cleveland Browns and really save the game. And Mike Penn yesterday, you got to love this about Mike Penn. He goes, I lost my mind for a little bit at the end of the first half, and Joel Bitonio bailed me out, and that may be the play of the season.
Really?
That's what he said. He said, I lost my mind trying that field goal at the end of the first half, and thank God it doesn't look as bad as it could have.
And you know what? As we talked yesterday, when Joe and I, we all headed down for lunch prior to the show, I talked about being on the road in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, in the Metrodome, and Antonio Cromartie, when I was at the San Diego Chargers, you know, caught at that time and set a NFL record for the longest return for 109 yards. We did the same thing to them. But again, it was one of those situations where just a long field goal, and you go into that locker room, you know, with so much momentum. And again, that was a home team doing it at home, and we were the road team doing it, you know, in someone else's house. And we gained a lot of momentum, stole 7 points, but also the confidence to go out there knowing that in our case, we deferred and we'd get the ball to start the half. So we stole a free 7 points with essentially 3 seconds on the clock.
No question. And this is a direct quote. He said, on special teams, we did a good job of limiting Hester. Aside from when I lost my mind right before the half and decided to go for the 60-yarder, I thought we did a good job. I obviously need to thank Joel Bitonio. That could end up being the play of the year for us with his hustle from the backside and saving tackle. He said that obviously made my decision not look nearly as bad as it was. So very funny, and that's what you love him. The guy's a real guy.
Oh, for sure.
Listen, man.
And those are the highs and lows of a football season, and also, too, the ebbs and flows of a football game. You know, that's the highest high when he makes his tackle. As he said, it's the play of the season. But if he returns that, it's the lowest of the low on the road in Atlanta.
It could have been. All right, let's get into the grades now here. We're going to start on the offensive side of the ball. And we're going to start with the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Brian Hoyer, 23 of 40 for 322 yards, becoming the first Browns quarterback to have back-to-back 300-yard games since Brian Sipe did it in the late 80s. But he had 3 interceptions on the day, quarterback rating of just 52.3. Interesting to see where you go with your grade here on Brian Hoyer, because while that's all true, he also led the game-winning drive, 4 big completions to set up Billy Cundiff's game-winning field goal.
Brian Hoyer is going to get a D from me.
Okay.
And the reason, and the only reason why he did not receive an F is that 44 seconds. And I thought there were good throws, you know, the ability to force the ball to Gordon and have him make those plays. But in my eyes, there were, again, I said yesterday, 5 opportunities to hit Gordon open with yards after the catch or chunk plays that extend drives that we missed. And that is something we can't miss at Buffalo and should not miss as we move forward. And then the 3 interceptions, the one in my eyes looms supreme. You cannot not get points from the 6-yard line. That will get you beat in the next 5 football games and will get you beat in a playoff game if we get to that point.
No question. So I was going to go, because they won, and I'm going to give a little outcome bias here in my grading, I was going to give a C-. And it was, if it were not for that last drive, it would have been an F. And maybe an F-. But I'm going to, because he did it when he had to, that drive mattered more than everything else that happened in the game, because that drive won the game for the Browns. So to me, I'm going to bump him up to a C-. That means it's as average as I can possibly live with, only because of what he did at the end. Now, it is outcome bias. If he doesn't have that drive, it's an F-, because
correct,
the interceptions were horrific. The missed throws were absolutely atrocious. The missed throws to Gordon, one on the bootleg to the right. All he had to do is throw it between Gordon and the sideline. It's a walk-in touchdown. The post down the middle, walk-in touchdown. The inaccuracy continues to plague him. In this game, some decision-making was bad. The first interception on the bootleg left was very, very – it was a bad interception. It was a bad throw. It was obvious. You just had to lob it out there. So it was not his best game, but I know that he is his own harshest critic. I know he's very tough on himself after this game, and he wants to bounce back. But at the end of the day, for all the things we say about Brian Hoyer and all the things we say about his accuracy, inaccuracy, etc., when he needed to come through with 4 plays – He did. And all of a sudden, the Browns find themselves at 7-4.
Now, he did. And it's the play. It's the play around him, too, which is what allowed him to make those four throws.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. Yes. And also, too, to go back to our grading system, if you were a kid, there are kids out there that a C-minus is a passing grade. It's a little bit below average, right, if C is an average. Whereas in my eyes, it's just enough to pass. That 44 seconds in my eyes, it's you fail without those 44 seconds.
I consider it a failing grade, even though it's not in my mind.
What?
A D would be like a failing grade to me.
Of course it is. But it was just enough not to fail. That's why he got a D.
It was not good.
Right.
It was bad.
Bad.
It was terrible.
But C in my eyes is closer to an A.
Good. You're saying
and
it's
D
too
in
good.
My eyes is closer.
Well,
yes.
C is closer to an A than D. You're correct. If we're lining up, you are correct about that. All right. Needless to say, it was not good, and it must be better if the Browns want to make the playoffs. And I think that is as plain as day. All right, let's look at the running backs now. Isaiah Crowell returns home, 12 carries, 88 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7.3 a pop. T. West, 14 for 62, 4.4 a pop, had a nice 20-yard run in this one as well. So I thought the backs did a good job. I thought Crowell was fantastic. When you consider that in the second half, he had 6 carries for 70 yards and a touchdown. He got better as the game went on. I wish he had gotten more opportunities, but I think I'm always going to say that until
sure.
he gets 20 to 25.
Yes, you are.
Great performance from him. The running backs did their job. They were certainly good in pass protection as well. I give them an A.
As much as I'd love to give them an A, I'm going to be very critical today because we did win, so it allows me to be very critical. I'm going to give them a B+, and here's the reason why. They would get an A in every way, shape, and form under the sun for their performance and everything that you just listed. But the one thing that looms supreme in my mind is that fumble by T. West, because as we move forward from a critical standpoint, if we fumble late in a game or in crunch time, either of them fumble, and we do not recover that, we will lose a football game with 3 of the next 5 on the road, which will keep us from the playoffs.
Who recovered the fumble?
Agnew.
What position does he play?
Running back.
So come on, man.
B+.
B+. The Crow, that was one of the best runs you'll see all year.
Come on.
Come on, man. Give me an A-.
B+.
Come on.
Fumble. B+.
I'll go Hoyer down to a D+ if you go give the
ball. Well, Agnew wasn't even getting a block. That's why he got the fumble recovery.
But he recovered it.
Okay. B+.
All right. Fine. You're not very fun. Let's go to the Browns receivers now. Josh Gordon in his return, 16 targets, 8 catches, 120 yards, could have been 202 touchdowns easily. Hawk caught all 5 of his targets for 93. Miles Austin, 6 of his 8 targets for 64 yards, including the final catch to set up the field goal. Taylor Gabriel, 1 of his 2 for 13 yards. I thought these wide receivers were huge difference makers. Now, none of them got into the end zone. I also thought Josh Gordon did a fantastic job blocking down the field and showed just his overall football intelligence on that botched pitch from Terrence West. So that's fine. I'm going to go Isaiah Crowell. Can I give Crow an A at least on the running
absolutely,
back?
Absolutely, 100%.
Fine. But to have the wherewithal to pick that ball up, throw it away, was a brilliant play by Gordon. I think these receivers get an A as well. And I think had Brian Hoyer been playing at a B level, the numbers that we could have thrown for 400 yards easily in this game, and these receivers could have put up some gaudy statistics.
They could have, and I'm going to continue to be very critical in my grading system today because we won, as I said, and they're going to still get an A. And I thought overall there were, you know, drops, routes. Josh Gordon was not rusty at all. And I thought that, you know, everybody succeeded around him and, you know, and because of Josh Gordon. And I love seeing Andrew Hawkins back in his original spot. He's running 4 and 5 yard little dart routes, receiving the football in time, in space, allowing him to make plays, make people guys miss, and extending a 5 yard gain into a 15 yard gain moving forward.
I think that's exactly right, and you're seeing just how dangerous he is now when he's matched up with the second or the third corner. You can get him in space so much easier with Josh Gordon. If I'm nitpicking the receivers, obviously maybe on the pass at the back of the end zone, you'd want to see a little more competition there from Josh Gordon. And also Austin did let one ball that could have been a touchdown get through his hands at the goal line where we ended up settling for a field goal in the third half. But overall, strong performance from them. The tight ends, Gary Barnage, Jim Dre. Barnage, 2 catches for 23 yards. I think what they do, it shows up more so on tape than it does necessarily in the stat sheet, especially in this game against the Falcons. I thought Dre did a very good job in terms of his run blocking. I thought Barnage was solid blocking. And then that catch, which was the play before the final pass to Austin, the one that actually got them down in field goal range, Barnage went up, made a tough catch, took a big hit under the chin, shook it off, picked up another 5 yards. I thought was a huge play. And you look at Gary Barnage now, and he has twice made big catches on game-winning drives late in games, New Orleans and now Atlanta. I think they did a very, very solid job. A-minus for them.
I concur. I'll actually give them an A. There's nothing negative I can say about their football game, and they're limited because, as we just heard, the wide receivers received an A, and they're getting a majority of the targets. They're doing what they're asked to do, and when their number is called, they make the play, and you can't ask for any more than that.
Certainly cannot. And finally, let's go to the offensive line, the last grade to hand out on this offensive side of the football. You look at what Thomas, Batonio, McDonald, Greco, and Schwartz did, controlling the line of scrimmage, protecting Brian Hoyer. Hoyer, as I said, sacked only once on the day there. He was only under pressure on 10 of his 43 dropbacks all day long, one sack as well. But I thought they controlled the line. I thought he had good protection for the most part, other than when OCU Maniora got to him really at the end of the game. They paved the way for the Browns running backs to average nearly 6 yards a carry between Crow and West. 26 carries there on the day for 150 yards and the two scores. Good job. Good job by this offensive line.
And your grade?
I'm going to give them an A minus.
I will give them an A as well. I believe, again, as you said, 162 yards on the ground, 5.6 per, two touchdowns. Brian Hoyer sacked only one time, was pressured here, few and far between, but that was one on some very extensive rollouts, which is to be expected. So, again, I give them an A.
Yeah, and you also have to remember Joel Batonio's special teams tackle factors into that as well. That was a big play by him, as we talked about.
So course, the same way
I'll bump them up to
that
an A.
Batonio works positively for the group, yep, and they give them an A.
Yep.
Terrence West, who was in that group, fumble,
but
should
it was recovered
negatively
by a running back.
That doesn't matter.
How does that not matter? How is that immaterial?
So if a defensive lineman, if he rolls over, he got pancaked and he rolls over and recovers a fumble, fumbled by the other team, he should get a positive for that play?
Yes, if you recover the fumble, you get a positive.
But he was on his back.
Doesn't matter.
Like
great
a cockroach.
At the right time because he knew that somehow he knew that's where he was supposed to be in the universe. All I'm saying is the fumble has to at least be wiped out by the fumble recovery in the same group.
No.
How can you say, what?
In my eyes, it's no.
Did the Falcons get the ball?
No.
Why didn't they get the ball? Because of a player or playing
one
position.
And again, okay,
because
so
of a player playing one position.
I am from a group that has had
from a player
their,
playing what position.
Their fair
this is just
share,
a simple question.
What?
A player playing what position prevented the Falcons from
fullback.
Getting the ball?
He's not a running back. He's a fullback.
He's part of the running back.
No, I don't know what room he sits in.
He's part of the.
I'm not downstairs.
He sits in the running back room. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. Who was your fullback down there in San Diego?
Lorenzo Neal.
Where was he? Was he with LaDainian
he,
or was he
he
off
met
his
with
own
his
room?
Own. He had his own coach in his own
you
closet.
Guys had a fullback's coach?
No, he was
I bet
in
you
the
did.
Back
I bet
room.
You did. Exactly. All right. When we come back, a man who birthed Cleveland Browns Daily at one point in just a beautiful 1 hour show. It's now grown to two. My man Ken Carman's hanging out here in the Dog Bowl and Brewery. What's up, KC? Vic Carucci makes his return to Cleveland Browns Daily right after this break. We're going to discuss our wager. We're going to get some insight into the Bills. We're going to get some confirmation that we're playing in Buffalo. We're just going to reminisce and talk about old times with the notorious VIC. That's up next here on CBD.